You are listening to Perplexity.
Today, we will be discussing the most feared monster in all of Filipino folklore. These shape-shifting creatures appear as humans during the day and transform into horrifying predators at night. They've been described as having backward feet, reversed toenails, and bloodshot eyes. And these creatures are so deeply ingrained into Filipino beliefs that in some rural areas, these beliefs continue. There are people who truly believe this creature lurks amongst us in the shadows. This is the story of the Aswang. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Perplexity, a mystery podcast. As always, I'm your host, Kadra. If you're new to the show, hello and welcome. I tell tales every single week that have perplexed me. So if you love a good mystery that leaves you wanting more, you are in the right place. And if you end up enjoying today's episode, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're a returning listener, hello, my friends. Welcome back. So happy you're here. I have a very great episode for you guys today. This is such a fascinating topic to me. I've always loved folklore, and I've had Filipino folklore on my list of things to dig into for a while, and I was so perplexed by the story of the Aswang. It's terrifying. The history behind it is also really, really fascinating, so we are going to get into that in just a minute, but I just wanted to remind everybody really quickly to continue to support the show if you're enjoying and haven't done so yet. I would love if you leave a 5-star review wherever you are listening to your podcasts. Tell some people about the show. If you're watching on YouTube, you can hit the subscribe button. And if you want that early ad-free content, if you want exclusive bonus content, you can always join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. I've got tons of great stuff over there. I just released another round of creepy stories from the internet where I talked about Ouija board encounters, and I have a new volume of Texas Urban Legends dropping very soon, and then after that it's going to be some more documentary coverage. So lots of great stuff happening over there. I do want to issue a quick trigger warning. This is quite a disturbing story, so listener discretion is advised, and all the sources that I used for today's episode will be available down in the show notes. I also just want to remind everyone, I recognize this is not my culture. I have tried to research this as accurately as I can. If I mispronounce anything, if I get anything wrong, please correct me. You don't need to be rude about it, but I appreciate corrections. And also, I mean no disrespect by talking about another culture. I just find this really, really interesting, and I really enjoyed learning about it. So without further ado, let's get into the story of this Filipino monster, the Aswang. So the name Aswang is derived from a Sanskrit word meaning demon. Aswang is an umbrella term, and this refers to a lot of various shape-shifting creatures that are described in Filipino folklore. It could be a creature that turns into a vampire, a werewolf, a bird-like cryptid. And these creatures also have been called other names. Sometimes they are called the Tik-Tik or the Manananggal. Like other folklore, the Aswang legends vary widely depending on the region. So as we are discussing the Aswang today, if you are familiar with the legend and it sounds different, just keep that in mind. According to some legends, it is said you will know that you're looking into the eyes of an Aswang if your reflection in their eyes is upside down. You can also try looking at them while bending upside down and looking up at them from a different angle, because this will reveal their true identity. Another way to tell is if the person does not have a philtrum, which is the middle line between your nose and your upper lip. It's said that Aswang do not have these for whatever reason. Aswangs are described as having superhuman strength. They hunt at night because they're very weak during the day. During the day, they are unlikely to attack, and they have been reported to take the form of a beautiful young woman with long dark hair. They have a heightened sense of smell, and sometimes in legends, they will say that the smell of rotting flesh accompanies them wherever they go. One of the most commonly described characteristics of an Aswang is their long tubular tongue. This is the part that really freaked me out. As soon as I learned about this, I was like, yeah, we've got to do an episode on this. We need to unpack this. So, it is said that Aswangs use their tongue when they are feeding on human flesh. Quite literally like a vampire or the legend of the Chupacabra, Aswang drain their victim of their blood and organs using this tubular tongue. It literally sucks things out of people. They are also known to have a preference for the heart and the liver, and as if this couldn't get any more horrifying, their preferred victim is pregnant women, with reports of Aswang sucking unborn babies out of the mother's womb. So it is truly one of the most horrifying pieces of folklore I have ever heard. It is believed the Aswang reside in secluded areas like forests, mountains, caves, or even abandoned buildings. Some legends say that the Aswang can detach its upper half from its lower half. You usually hear this in the stories of the Menenengal. The upper half will then sprout bat-like leathery wings and fly away at night to feed, leaving its lower half behind and hidden away for safekeeping. The Aswang's upper half must rejoin the lower half again before sunrise. Otherwise, similar to a vampire, it will die. So, if you happen to find a pair of decapitated legs, it might not be from a serial killer, it might be from an Aswang. Sprinkling salt on the legs will keep the Aswang from being able to join back again with the lower half, so this is another way to kill it. Some legends also say that they can be killed if you are able to destroy their heart or decapitate them. When Aswang are hunting, they are reported to use a deceptive ticking sound sometimes to lure their prey. And like many other cryptids, as Aswang get closer, the ticking sound actually gets quieter to fool you into thinking that they're getting further away. You hear this with lots of other creatures like the Wendigo, La Llorona, etc. Some variations of the legend also claim that humans can transform into Aswangs by tying a fertilized chicken egg to their stomach. Why you would want to do that, I have no idea. So if an Aswang takes a victim, they supposedly can use an inanimate object to create a doppelganger of the victim, and they'll leave this doppelganger in place of their prey so that nobody notices this person has been taken and consumed. But then the doppelganger will quickly become sick and die. So how can you protect yourself from an Aswang? Aswangs are said to be repelled by religious artifacts like holy water, crucifixes, rosaries, along with prayers, which makes me think that these are quite demonic entities. They are also repelled by garlic, salt, and the sound of a whip, which can be made from a stingray's tail. And the garlic obviously has ties to vampires. The salt, again, reminds me of something demonic because it's something that you can use for cleansing and protection purposes with a lot of other stories. It's said that Aswang also hate loud noises and bright lights. In the Philippines, there's also a special oil that is made by a healer. It is said that this oil will start to boil as like a warning if an Aswang is nearby. Aswang also apparently cannot step on ground that is holy and consecrated, so it seems like the best way to protect yourself from one of these creatures is to get the help of a healer. So now that we understand the general characteristics of this creature, let's get into the history of where this creature could have come from and some of the really fascinating stories I came across that are tied to battle and the CIA. Stories of the Aswang have been passed down for centuries, with written accounts dating all the way back to the 16th century. But of course, this creature could be much, much older. Juan de Palencia wrote in the 1589 Customs of the Taglogs saying, quote, "His purpose was to show himself at night to many persons, without his head or entrails. In such wise, the devil walked about and carried, or pretended to carry, his head to different places, and in the morning returned to his body, remaining as before, alive." This seems to me to be a fable, although the natives affirm that they have seen it, because the devil probably caused them so to believe. End quote. So here he's describing that horrifying legend where it splits in half. Some of those legends say that when it splits in half, its entrails are hanging out as it's flying away. It's truly so disturbing. Another description comes from Spanish colonizers in 1593. They recorded the Aswang in the Doctrina Christiana after speaking with local priests. So they would say, quote, "They say that they have seen him fly, and that he murdered men and ate their flesh," end quote. In 1703, Fray Domingo de los Santos wrote in Vocabulario de Lengua Tagala, quote, "They say that it flies and eats human flesh, but when it flies, it only has half its body, and that is why it is called that, because it can disengage, and he dislodges half of his body and carries the other half home," end quote. Something that I noticed with a lot of these accounts is they refer to the Aswang as he, and I don't know why, but when I heard about it, I just assumed it was female because during the day it's said to take on the form of a beautiful woman, but it seems like that might not be the case. Stories of the Aswang could even stem back to Malaysia in the 13th century, where they had a similar creature that they described known as the Hantu Pananggal. It has also been argued this legend was used to incite fear and to control people, which is a theory we often hear with folklore and cryptids. There were similar things that we discussed when we talked about the Japanese Oni. The legend has been used to encourage children to stay indoors at night, similar to La Llorona, but arguably the most significant piece of evidence for control using this legend comes from the CIA. During the Vietnam War, the CIA became aware of this legend of the Aswang and how many people in the area truly believed it. Fighting communism, the CIA involved themselves in fighting against the communist rebels in this area known as the Hooks. Edward Geary Lansdale, an advertising executive turned CIA operative, concocted a plan to convince Filipinos in the area that communist forces were teaming up with Aswangs. According to William Blum, author of Killing Hope, U.S. Military and CIA Interventions Since World War II, one of Lansdale's ideas included flying over communist-controlled areas while broadcasting mysterious curses in Tagalog to anyone in support of the rebel forces. This tactic reportedly succeeded in starving some Hooks into surrendering. By far the craziest thing that they did was murder the Hooks, and they made it look like an Aswang did it. days before the murders, they first started to implant rumors in the nearby villages, saying that there had been sightings of an Aswang in the area. So all of the villagers are on edge. They're whispering about it. They're like, did you hear that there's been an Aswang sighted in the area? Once this rumor had successfully been spread, then the CIA began to attack. Under the cover of night, they killed communist rebels, drained them of their blood, and pierced their necks, making it look like an Aswang attacked them. They would then leave their bodies on commonly used trails for villagers and other rebels to find. So in the morning, when these soldiers would take their regular routes, they would find these men and be absolutely horrified, thinking an Aswang got them. And they found this so believable that it caused hundreds of these hooks to leave the area. So this was a big success for the war, but it's pretty fucked up, right? Can you imagine lying about something like this? Taking someone's culture, this story they so deeply believe, and faking all of it and murdering people. It's just, it's crazy. I've never heard of anything like that. CIA operative Lansdale said about this, quote, "My orders were plain. The United States government wanted me to give all help feasible to the Philippine government in stopping the attempt by the communist-led hooks to overthrow that government by force. Early on, I realized that a Psy war had a wider potential than that." End quote. So this really was psychological warfare. I also read some accounts where CIA operatives were similar to when they were flying over and casting the curses. They would make like these ghost-like noises and they would say the names of soldiers that had been murdered. So they really were making these people believe that they were cursed, haunted, and that they were being hunted by this evil creature. And this might be hard for my American listeners to understand because we have a very different culture here, but there are so many Eastern practices where they do truly believe these stories. They grew up with them, their loved ones told them, you know, this is real, this is true. So it's pretty terrifying. And I mean, you could also argue that we have similar things here that we truly believe, like our religious beliefs, for example. So now let's get into what is always my favorite part of folklore episodes, the sightings. According to legend, in a small rural Filipino town, there once lived a beautiful young woman named Elena. She had always lived a peaceful life. But one evening, as she was walking home alone, she encountered a manananggal. The manananggal attacked Elena, but she managed to escape and survive. But Elena was determined to seek revenge. So she gathered a group of villagers and hunted down the Aswang, using garlic and holy water to repel it. Then they were able to kill the creature. One of the most recent alleged sightings that I came across was from just 2 years ago. In 2023, residents of Talisay, Philippines, reported seeing a manananggal perched on a house. It frightened some townsfolk enough to call the police and even seek counseling. And of course, I had to go to Reddit to see what kinds of stories I could find, and I found quite a bit, but I have picked out my favorites for you, and we will get into those now. This first story comes from a Reddit user that deleted their account, but they say, quote, "My mom told me this story when I was about 12 or so, and it still gives me the heebie-jeebies whenever I remember it. My mom and dad, who would later in life be estranged to us, was pretty young when they had me. Mom was about 20 to 21 at the time, and my dad was a couple of years older. Because of it, they were living with my dad's side of the family, who would also be estranged to us later in life. By the time this story happened, my mom was about 7 months in her pregnancy with me. It was nighttime. She didn't say the exact time that it was, but she said it was already pretty late. She was just relaxing in their room and was about to go to sleep when she heard a strange noise outside of her room. Something flapping. Now, my mom at the time didn't really realize it, but she was quite sensitive in those kind of things, that she passed it on to me and my younger brother. She had this sense of foreboding, so she screamed to my dad, who was just downstairs drinking with a few of my uncles and his friends. Of course, my dad quickly ran up to my mom, parentheses, slight drunkenness be damned, and asked her what was wrong. She said that she heard something flapping, and it was getting closer and closer. She was really scared. Dad immediately called his brothers and friends and told him that a Manananggal, a horrible vampire-like monster that feeds on pregnant women, children, animals, etc., was trying to kill his baby and his wife. So they immediately took anything that was sharp, and they were vigilant throughout the night, keeping out a close eye for the Manananggal. My mom said that she didn't sleep a wink that night. No one did. That's because the city they were in, that part of the city in particular, is notoriously known in my country as the hotspot for Manananggals and Aswang. I suggest you look them up. It'll be worth your while and might not let you sleep a wink at night. Decades later, when I had rented a place in the same city, but a different location from their old house, I was walking home from work around 3 to 4 a.m. I was just minding my own business when I felt something cold on the back of my neck. It was as if icy cold water had suddenly been poured onto me. I was panicked on the inside, but I didn't show it because nearby there were truck drivers and taxi drivers eating their late dinners or early breakfasts. All of them were friendly, but most all of them were exhausted from work. I didn't want to make a scene. I tried to remember the words that my mom said to me before I had moved out. Always keep calm and call up on your inner self / guardian angel for help. I did just that. But the sensation of being watched, especially above your head, makes it very hard to calm down. I willed myself not to turn around or look up, just walk straight and casual like normal. But I was already gripping the strap of my bag so hard, it was a miracle I didn't bleed. Once I was safely inside the gate at my place, I gripped the grills of the gate tight in my hands and I glared in front of me. I still refused to look up. But damn was it tempting. I imagined a bright white light surrounding me and the rest of my house, as there are a lot of pregnant women and children there. And I said, quote, "You are not welcome here. Get out. Don't even think of entering our home. Get out. Don't follow me. Get out. You are nothing. You are not welcome here. Get out. Get out. Get out." I stood there, glaring into nothing. If other people were to see me at the time, they would probably think I was crazy. My hands were trembling. My knees were shaking. But I stood my ground. It took forever, but maybe it was only for a few minutes. Eventually, the sensation went away. I took off and entered my house. Once inside, I swear to God, I broke down in a cold sweat and I fell to my knees. I was shaking so hard. I honestly don't know how I managed to get in bed and fall asleep. A few years later, it dawned on me that maybe it was the weird cat that I saw a few weeks prior. It was such a strange cat. I had the heebie-jeebies when I saw it. Maybe. End quote. It's interesting with stories like this, I've heard similar ones with skinwalkers, where it seems to follow the family. You'll hear these stories where, oh, my grandfather saw one or my mother had an encounter, and then it seems like they have one as well. Or it could be that the legend is so instilled in them from their family that they're more prone to seeing something and believing that that could be it. But clearly something was off when this person was walking home, regardless of what it was, because I really do believe in gut instinct. And I'm glad that this person was able to make it out of a creepy situation, regardless of what it could have been. This next story is from Reddit user theysaidno-twice. Quote, I used to live with a relative that was in her 7th month of pregnancy. Our house back then was just a simple bungalow, but without a ceiling. So when you look up, you see the roof. The roof was made of steel sheets, and it was very thin. So one quiet night, everyone was awakened by the sound of something walking on the roof. It was steel and thin. Therefore, it made loud noise. We were thinking that it could have been a cat, but damn, it would have been a big cat. It couldn't be dogs, since they have no way of reaching that height. Confused, we just laid on our respective beds, frozen in fear. One of my cousins even saw the roof bending a bit from the weight of this thing. Finally, and thankfully, my uncle had had enough. He went to the kitchen, took a handful of salt, and went outside and threw it onto the roof. Then we heard this thing walking fast until there was silence. The weird thing is, we didn't hear anything land on the ground. Surely anyone who jumped from the roof, which is a considerable height, it would have at least made a thud. End quote. It sounds like it flew away. Like the stories of the men in Ngal. A lot of the stories I came across are very similar. There's a pregnant woman in their house and they hear something on the roof, which is, I don't know, there's just something so eerie and creepy about that. This next story is from Reddit user Irrelevant Human. Quote, I stay up late all the time, but this was the only time I had actually experienced something that genuinely scared me. It was around midnight when I suddenly heard this weird bird screech somewhere in the distance. At first, I thought it was just a rooster. I live in the province. But it was way too early for a rooster to start crowing, and it didn't even sound like one. It was more of a crow's caw, except a bit more gross sounding. But it couldn't have been a crow either, considering where I was. So at this point, I was wondering what in the ever-loving hell was making that god-awful noise. It got louder and louder, to the point where it felt like it was right in front of our house. So I did what any other sane person would do. I got under the covers, and I prayed to whatever deity there is that this thing would just go away. So fast forward to when I'm eating breakfast, and I low-key mention to my mom this weird bird that I heard last night. She said in a half-serious, half-joking tone that maybe it was a wak-wak, and then proceeded to tell me about how the fainter the sound, the nearer it actually is. I was like, LMAO, mom, please, no one's even pregnant in this house. It was just me, my mom, and the maid. Why would there even be a wak-wak? But my mom has always had a bit of a sixth sense. Anyway, we dismissed the issue after that, and we ended with the conclusion that maybe there was some person's parrot that had gotten lost or something like that. A few days later, however, my mom jokingly bought a pregnancy test for the maid, as she had been complaining about headaches and nausea for the past month. To everyone's surprise, we found out she was actually pregnant. So yeah, that was probably a wak-wak that I heard. End quote. That is so crazy. Can you imagine, like, that's how you find out that you're pregnant? I also hadn't heard the name for the aswang as wak-wak before, but it's kind of similar to the other name, the tick-tick, because it makes that ticking sound. But yeah, that's a crazy one for sure. This next story is from Reddit user calm-c-5526. Quote, "I'm not one who believes in the paranormal, and still don't. But this one experience I had, to this day, I can't explain. This happened about a decade ago. My family and I were visiting Iloilo from abroad and staying at my in-law's house. They own a large 2,500 square meter lot in Molo. It's a long, deep lot with a massive acacia tree on one end of the property. It's the largest tree I've ever seen in a residential area. The canopy of this tree spans the majority of the property. One night, we had come back from a party. It was probably around 1 a.m., and I decided to have a smoke before showering and going to sleep. So I'm sitting on the tailgate of a truck parked at the opposite end of the property from this tree. All of a sudden, I felt very cold, and my upper back and neck had a tingling sensation. Ahead of me at the far end of the property is the base of this massive acacia tree. Mind you, it was dark, but you could clearly see. I saw what looked like the silhouette of a person drop down from the tree. This is probably a 30 to 40 foot drop from the canopy. The thing is, it didn't drop, but it slowly floated down. As soon as this happened, my entire body now had a full tingling sensation, and I felt like I was frozen. I couldn't move. The guard dogs started going crazy, barking. They were facing the tree, but refused to run over to the base. Once the dogs started barking, I was able to move and I walked into the house. As I got close to the door, I could see the two German shepherds run past me and head towards the side of the house. It was as if they were running from something. The next day, over breakfast, I told everyone at the table what had happened to me. My father-in-law, an old-timer, who also doesn't believe in the paranormal, laughed and said many years ago, there was a helper who quit after having a similar experience, after working there for less than a month. He said it was evening time, and she was found screaming on the front porch area of the house. She said she saw a creature drop down from the tree canopy. It ran towards her, and she felt what felt like a hand with very long fingers grab her leg. Another helper heard the screams, turned on all the porch lights, and ran outside. She said she saw what looked like a black shadow just run away and disappear. Like I said, I still don't believe in this type of stuff, but what happened to me that evening, I can't explain. Just typing this makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up. End quote. That is probably the creepiest one that I've heard so far. And it's wild to me that they had an experience like that. And they're still like, I don't know if I believe in this type of stuff. Like the visual of this, like I'm picturing almost like a weeping willow, just like a thick, massive, vast tree that you can't even like see into because there's so many leaves, you know? And then you're like in this, I'm picturing like a farmland under the cover of night, and a creature just floats 30 to 40 feet down in the distance. And you're telling me that that didn't change your entire perspective about the world. And it sounds like this creature likes to hang out in that tree because other people have seen it. I don't like that one at all. That one truly scares the shit out of me. This next story is from Reddit user mental_placebo. Quote, "This happened in Metro Manila around 2011. My cousin told me, quote, the old man with the new neighbors asked me if you were pregnant. I was shocked. I hadn't even told my family yet. I was 21 and I worked nights at a call center. I never went outside when I was home and I was only a few weeks along. I wasn't even showing. How did this nosy old man know that I was pregnant? It was said that the neighbors were new in town, coming from one of the more popular provinces in the Philippines, where witchcraft and aswangs were still the norm. They were friendly enough, though no one really had anything bad to say about them, other than there was a nasty rumor that they knew about the aswang. When I was about 8 months along, I was watching late-night TV with my brother at around 2 a.m. Something big landed on our tin roof, strong enough to rattle the windows. My brother and I looked at each other with wide eyes as we listened to the footsteps. Yes, footsteps. And they stopped right on top of me. I was never a prayerful person, but at that moment, I called on gods and saints and angels to protect my baby. Then I remembered my grandmother's story about how she once escaped an aswang attack by placing a pillow between her legs to mask the baby's scent. So I did just that. We had no idea how long we waited. Seconds? Minutes? But we heard another jump, and then silence. I was glad that my brother was with me to vouch for me. I still couldn't believe what happened, and that it happened to me. Then I remembered the nosy old man. Could it have been him? Something weird and mysterious and unfinished, I suppose. End quote. Yeah, it sounds like their neighbor either had a sixth sense, a premonition, or was an aswang themselves. But it said that the neighbors came from an area where there were a lot of aswang, so maybe he is just more sensitive to those things. But it is pretty strange that he recognized she was pregnant when she was only a few weeks along. And the pillow between the legs to mask the scent of the baby is wild. This final story is from Reddit user Tabs123. Quote, "My experience happened when I was 9 to 11 years old. My mom and my two brothers, age 7 and 2, were asleep in one bed. I woke up in the middle of the night and sat up. I was holding a throw pillow, no blanket, and my right eye was covered while my left eye was open. What I saw shocked me. There were two women sitting on the bed. One I saw clear as day. The other was obstructed by my pillow. The woman had messy hair. The skin was kind of wrinkly like a lizard, and maybe gray in color. They were sitting there very still, and not moving, but not staring at me. I slowly lied down on the bed. Then they started to move close to me. I must have felt her skin because my foot felt something that was cold and had the soft texture of a diaper. I inched my way away from them, and they also inched their way closer to me. I kept moving away until I hit the corner wall. Our bed was in the corner of a room. I thought to myself, I'm fucked. Now I didn't have a blanket. All I had was a throw pillow. I used it to cover my face. What happened next freaked me out. I heard a weird sound while they were doing something to my hair. I don't know if they were running their hands through my hair, but the sound seemed to go with it. At the time, I thought they were biting my hair and letting it run through their teeth. That sound I heard is like the sound when you scratch your arm, but in long, fast strokes. Then my mom must have sleep-talked because she yelled out, 'Get away from here, you bad spirits.' Then everything stopped. I mustered up the courage to open my eyes, and I saw they weren't around. I saw my brother had a blanket on, and I grabbed it. The blanket was wrapped tight around my brother. I pulled it as much as I could, and I only got about a foot of blanket to cover myself with. Now this blanket was skin tight on me, and I started to pray. Then the freakiness started again. I felt hands all over me, up and down my body, and all the while I heard a scratching sound. I didn't sleep at all that night, and it felt like an eternity in that skin-tight blanket. I was so relieved when morning came. I told my mom about it, and she didn't believe me, even though I was shaking from fear. The next night, I slept close to my mom, and I wanted the lamp to be left on, but my mom didn't want to keep it on. Later on that night, we heard flapping sounds, really loud flapping sounds. There must have been two or three entities making those sounds. When the flapping stopped, my mom turned on the lights and told me to go to sleep with my grandpa, because those flapping sounds could have came from a Menenengal. My grandpa tells me not to cover myself with the blanket and that I shouldn't be afraid, that I should yell back at it to leave me alone. As I was trying to go to sleep, I started to hear voices. I asked my grandpa if he heard the noises too, and he said no. The voice was that of a man whispering a phrase over and over again in Tagalog, which literally translates to "sleep now, child." Morning came, and my mom finally believed me. Nighttime always scared me. Every night, I would wake up feeling cold and warm at the same time. There was this one time I felt something weird touching and biting my legs. Like how you fold your lips over your teeth and try to bite yourself. I would get vivid nightmares, and I would be moving really, really slow in them. I woke up in the middle of the night with someone, maybe my brother, sleeping next to me. But when I turned on the flashlight I was holding, this thing moved away. There was also another time my mom and I woke up in the middle of the night and the power had gone out. Our room is at the end of the hallway, and we keep the door open all the time. Our bed is situated so that you can see down the hallway. On this particular night, we heard a loud click. Someone or something turned on the gas range. I could see the fire flickering down the hallway. Next thing we heard was footsteps, dancing footsteps, as if there were people dancing to the fire. My mom had the house blessed, but the activity still continued. There was also a time when someone sleeping next to me sat up and immediately ran out of the room. I was thinking that the aswang might have seen daylight and scurried out of the house, even though I never heard the front door or the back door open and close. Another time, one of my grandmothers came to visit, and out of the blue, she asked me if I wanted to have a sleepover at her house. That was the only time that I slept through the night until morning without interruption. My mom had a witch doctor check me out. The witch doctor told my mom to watch over me on Tuesday and Thursday of next week, because they were going to take me away. Everyone stayed up all night in the house on Tuesday, but they did nothing on Thursday. Nothing eventful happened on either day. Things like this continued to happen to me for 2 years. The first year was rough. The second year, not as much. I would wake up in the middle of the night with someone lying next to me, and they would be gone by morning. It wasn't until 8 years later, my sister told me that an aswang must have seen me and taken a liking to me. All the activity stopped when we returned to live in Guam. From my understanding, this aswang might be a regular person, but with supernatural powers. However, her influence couldn't reach me from over 1,000 miles away. End quote.
Normally in these ads, you expect somebody to ask you to buy something, but this is something different. I'm Julian Barnes, and I'm a reporter for the New York Times. I'm a national security reporter, and that means I'm reporting on military operations. These are fast-paced, quickly moving situations. What exactly is happening on the ground is often shrouded in mystery. but we turn to trusted sources, satellite imagery, and expertise built up over years in order to ferret out the facts that wouldn't otherwise come to light. I'm here to ask you to seek out a news source that does firsthand fact-based reporting. If it's your local paper, great. If it's The Times, thank you. Because where you go for your information matters.
I don't necessarily know if this story, in my opinion, points to an aswang, but I wanted to include it because it sounds like this is clearly part of this person's culture. So, like, at the end of the day, what do I know? But it's interesting. This story to me is so different from the other ones. And the aswang is an umbrella term for all these different creatures in Filipino folklore. The main ones I kept hearing about was the flapping bird-like creature, but this one, it didn't eat her. It just, like, tortured her. It followed her constantly. It slept in her bed. It took a liking to her. And I don't know if the two women that were, like, old and decrepit at the beginning had any connection, but it's like, it's either some type of aswang or it was like an oppression. There's also pieces of it that seem like experiences you would have with sleep paralysis, because all of these things seem to happen when she's sleeping. But very creepy, and it's definitely more of a unique story compared to the other ones that I found, so I wanted to include it. But those are some sightings. And before we wrap up everything, let's get into some theories as to what this creature could be. So, of course, you'll always hear with stories like this, it could be a misidentified animal. For the aswang, there have been animals like the Tasmanian devil, bats, a flying lemur known as the kagwang, and all of these animals have been killed before because they were thought to be aswangs. Another theory is that this could be an animal with some type of genetic disorder. So it's walking around and it doesn't quite look right, kind of like the stories of the chupacabra being pointed to being a coyote with really bad mange. Stories of the aswang could also be a cultural scapegoat for tragedies. There are horrible murderers everywhere, and horrible things happen to people. Maybe when there have been instances of finding a dead body or decapitated legs, it maybe could have been a serial killer, but it's hard to come to terms with something like that. It's easier, I think, sometimes to attribute those things to monsters instead of a human being. It's also been said that stories like this have sometimes been used to explain pregnancy complications, stillbirths. There is also a disease called XDP. This is a rare type of Parkinsonism. It's a dystonia. And this disease, for whatever reason, primarily affects Filipino men. This disease causes uncontrollable muscular spasms, tremors, and contortions. Photographs of people experiencing these types of symptoms are similar to some depictions of aswangs. The original home of the aswang is also rumored to be in the Capiz region, which just so happens to have the highest concentration of XDP cases. So there's a lot of men in this area who have XDP. If you think about, especially in earlier centuries when we didn't have an understanding of diseases in modern medicine, if you saw someone like this walking around, you might cast them out, think that they're evil. There's similar stories with people who have, like, cleft lip and palate, for example, in Africa, being cast out and saying that they're demonic. So to me, it's not at all out of the realm of possibility that this legend may have come from Filipino men in the area having this disease, XDP, and people not knowing what it was. So they were declared monsters. So could the aswang be real? I'll leave that up for you to decide. But whatever the case, this legend is certainly fascinating, horrifying, and perplexing. So that, everybody, is the legend of the aswang. I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. If you did, I would love if you continue to follow along. If you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, like this video, drop a comment down below. What do you think of this legend? If you have ever seen an Aswang, I would love to hear about it. If you're listening on Spotify, you can drop a comment on this exact episode, letting me know your thoughts. And I would love so much if you guys leave 5-star reviews on whatever podcast platform you listen on or whatever one you don't listen on. You can leave one on Apple, Spotify, wherever. Each time you do that, it boosts me up the charts and helps me get new listeners. So that is much appreciated. Continue to tell other people about the show. That word of mouth goes a really long way. And if you really want to support the show, if you want early and ad-free episodes, if you want tons of exclusive bonus content, you can join the Perplexed Society by going to patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast, or you can check out the YouTube memberships. Thank you everybody again so much for listening. You all are amazing. I hope you have a great week. Please stay safe, and I will talk to you next week. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Perplexity, a mystery podcast, hosted, written, and produced by Kadra Brannon. Assistant producer is TJ McCray. If you enjoyed today's episode, tell the world about it by leaving a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really is the best way to support. Have a topic request or a perplexing story of your own you'd like to share? Send an email to perplexitymysterypodcast@gmail.com. If you would like to support the show further and unlock exclusive bonus content, join the Perplexed Society at patreon.com/perplexitymysterypodcast. Perplexity merch and additional support links can be found in the episode description. Until next week, stay curious.